Hey everyone, welcome in and welcome back for our returning listeners. This is Alfredo here with the Pelican X American Stories podcast, and I am so glad that you took the time to stop by today to listen to this episode. First things first, I hope for the first episode of season 4 you were able to get something out of it. If you haven't had the chance to have a discussion about it just yet, take it to the comments, take it to the DMs. I'd love to hear your thoughts, feelings, some of the things that you may have learned from that past episode, and hopefully we can start something from it. I'm really excited for this current episode because I am using it as a way to sort of theme this month. I put out a post on Instagram and the other social media platforms for Pelican X American Stories on a little bit of history of the Philippine-American War, and February is essentially the month to hold space to learn a little bit more about the war itself, some of the nuances that came along with it, the propaganda, the aftermath, pretty much everything that comes along with the war. So this is one of those episodes, and I'm excited to share this one with y'all. For this episode today, we're going to be touching upon a lot of the propaganda that went on during the war. What made it persuasive? What were some of the ways Filipinos were portrayed using this propaganda? And how did that contribute to the war efforts? And essentially, how did it influence public opinion here in the US? So this is pretty much what it's going to be going down to. I'm going to be sharing some of those pictures on Instagram and Twitter for y'all to follow along with. And with that being said, this is going to be the episode of propaganda used during the Philippine-American War. I hope y'all enjoy. Before we begin, let's pose a few questions that you could use for discussion. The first question is, to what extent do you know about propaganda? How much do you know about it exactly? The second one is, can you name an example of propaganda you've seen over your lifetime? What do you think the main purpose of it is? Why do you think that propaganda is a thing? What is it being used for exactly? And the last question that I have for y'all before we go into this is, have you seen the propaganda that was put out during the Filipino-American War? I know some of y'all may not have been alive during that time, but there are definitely archives in books all over the internet, all over social media, of some of those pictures. So I am curious if some of y'all have seen any of that before. If you have, it'll make things a lot easier, and some of the lessons in this episode will be much smoother to follow along with, but if not, that's totally fine. Again, I will be providing examples on social media that we'll be using in this episode, so there's no need to worry if you haven't seen that before. And like I said at the very beginning of this section, please take a little bit of time to sit with some of these questions. As we're going through each section of the episode, you may end up finding some of the answers for these questions. Okay, now that you've taken a little bit of time to go over some of the discussion questions, let's start at the very beginning. How exactly did the Philippine-American War start? As many of you know, the Philippines was colonized by the Spanish and was under their rule from 1571 to 1898. It wasn't until December 10th, 1898, when the Spanish rule of the Philippines finally came to an end. And the reason this happened was because of the Treaty of Paris. This specific treaty was the one that ended the Spanish-American War. And while it wasn't one of the original parts of the Treaty of Paris, the Spanish eventually ceded the Philippines to the U.S. after a $20 million deal. And in short, the Philippines became one of the U.S.'s imperialist colonies. Many people in the Philippines opposed this. They wanted some sense of independence. After being under the rule of the Spanish for over 300 years, they felt like it was time to finally rule on their own. They wanted their own self-government. But unfortunately, the U.S. and President McKinley at the time had other plans for the Philippines. On December 21st, 1898, President McKinley brought forth the Benevolent Assimilation Policy. In a very sick and twisted way, this was the U.S.'s justification for securing and keeping the Philippines as one of their own empire. And I've read through this memorandum a few different times, and every single time I've read it, it's always been very disturbing. And one of the lines I want to share is this. It will be the duty of the commander of the forces of occupation to announce and proclaim in the most public manner that we come, not as invaders or conquerors, but as friends, to protect the natives in their homes, in their employments, and their personal and religious rights. All persons who either by active aid or by honest submission cooperate with the government of the United States to give effect to those beneficent purposes will receive the reward of its support and protection. These were the words that McKinley said when he put forth this memorandum. And it's supposed to be called the Benevolent Assimilation Policy, but benevolence is the wrong word to use when it comes to something as touchy as imperialism. This was not benevolent in any way, shape, or form. When you think about it, a lot of the key words here were meant to be very welcoming, very protective of the Philippines. It was meant to show that, hey, we're here to keep you safe, we're here to keep you protected. And it's really weird because when you think about it, the Philippines was essentially just handed off, even by payment, to another country. They were not truly independent. They were independent from the Spanish, but they were not independent from the U.S. To me, this is just another part of the cycle of imperialism. Again, this to me was just a handoff from one country to the next. And just as I'm frustrated with the words and the actions of the U.S. during that time, people of the Philippines were just as frustrated, if not much more than I am with my own words today. And this essentially was the spark, the catalyst of the Philippine-American War. So why is it so important that I bring up that proclamation? The reason for that is because of the attitudes and justification as to why the U.S. decided and continued on with their choice to have the Philippines under their imperial rule. Those specific attitudes were the driving forces that kept this Philippine-American War going. The U.S. was trying to fight for their essential right or their messed up sense of manifest destiny to expand and use the Philippines for their own gain. They saw the Philippines as a nation that was much weaker, something that needed their protection. They saw these people of the Philippines as uncivilized or uneducated, and they needed some sense of justice or some sense of liberation, and that was through what the U.S. called their Benevolent Assimilation Policy. And this is what I want to bring in for this next section of the episode. We're going to be touching upon three examples of propaganda that were used during the Philippine-American War, and we're going to see how the U.S. exactly portrayed the Philippines within these political cartoons. Like I said at the very beginning of the episode, I'm going to be having these examples posted on social media, so make sure to check out these examples on Instagram and Twitter. Instagram at PillyPinX American Stories, and Twitter at PillAm Stories. We're going to be using these examples very extensively for this episode, and having the visuals will help out with trying to analyze the perceptions of the Philippines from a US perspective. But before we begin, I want to establish what the definition of propaganda is. According to Webster's Dictionary, propaganda is defined as the set of ideas, facts, or allegations spread deliberately to further one's cause or to damage an opposing cause. In the case of U.S. imperialism towards the Philippines, this would be contributing to that specific cause. So let's get on to our examples for this episode. And just to premise this before we go into some of these political cartoons, many of these photos and many similar photos were actually taken from the Forbidden Book. So if you do ever take the chance to reserve yourself a copy of that book, I suggest getting it. There are quite a bit of disturbing images, including the ones that we're going to be describing today, but they do give a very interesting portrayal of the Philippines from a US perspective. If you ever get the chance to take a look at these, it'll give a better understanding of the hive mind of imperialism of what the US was during this time. Okay, so the first political cartoon I want to go over is titled The Filipino's First Bath. And for the people who aren't able to access this photo, it's for one thing, it's very disturbing seeing it again from this perspective. What I'm seeing on here is President McKinley giving a bath to what looks to be someone that is Filipino. And the reason why I sound very unsure is because the way they're portraying this Filipino person is they're portraying him kind of like a savage. He's not clothed, he's barefoot, and he just looks unkempt from the perspective of the person that drew this. And what McKinley is doing in this photo is he's in a water that is titled Civilization, and he is essentially giving a bath to this Filipino, and he's saying, "Ooh, you dirty boy." He's basically saying that this Filipino has never taken any kind of bath or shower in their lifetime, and the way he's bathing them is using a sponge or what seems to be a loofah soaked in that water of civilization, and it's encompassed by this idea of education for the Filipinos. And it's very strange because if you look at the back of this photo, you can see very racist portrayals of people from Cuba and Puerto Rico, and it's meant to imply that the techniques that the US used on Puerto Rico and Cuba have been successful, because what they're putting on is some kind of version of the American flag in the shape of a shirt and pants. And again, it's just portraying that the Philippines were, or the people of the Philippines were, a set of dirty people that needed some kind of re-education, some kind of civilizing, because they did not fit the mold of what the US wanted of them. And you could already tell how messed up something like this is. It very much portrays and projects this idea of this white savior mentality. In short, it's saying that the US has some kind of obligation to civilize and clean these people up because, again, they did not fit the mold of what they wanted the Philippines to be. And this is only one of the examples that I wanted to bring up. So as we're going through these, take a little bit of time to listen to the words that I've said, and maybe even take a second look if you're able to see these political cartoons and see what kind of other meanings you're able to draw from it. This right now is just my own analysis and my own interpretation of these political cartoons, but everyone else has a different perspective on what this kind of thing will mean. So if you get the chance, please take a look at these photos and tell me what you think about that. And let's move on to our next photo here. So this next political cartoon is titled Expansion Before and After. And it's supposed to kind of give this headline of this is what Filipinos look like before U.S. imperialism, and this is what they look like after. The way they're portraying it in this political cartoon is probably even more disturbing than the last one that we brought up. Just like the previous political cartoon, they portrayed the Filipinos in the before sense as someone that's savage. And their portrayal of after U.S. expansion and imperialism to the Philippines, they show them to be people that are Americanized. They kicked what Americans consider to be bad habits. They are participating in American sports and activities such as baseball and dancing in clubs and things like that. And one thing to also note about this political cartoon is that it's drawing parallels from some of the activities that Filipinos were portraying before. It's kind of hard to tell in this case, but the one example that I want to bring up is this Filipino in a suit that's dancing in a club. And the before of this little section of this political cartoon is them doing a war dance in what seems to be considered as savage clothing in the eyes of Americans. So there's that contrast between what it was like before and what it was like after. And I use that very loosely because, again, this is how Americans portrayed Filipinos during this time of the Philippine-American War. They saw them as people that needed some kind of civilization. And I know I've already said that, but this is what it's trying to say. This is the message that it's trying to give off from my own perspective. The last and final example that I want to go over is one that people may have seen pretty often on social media. I've seen many people use these in workshops, and it's probably one of the more famous political cartoons that's featured in the Forbidden Book. This one is entitled School Begins. So let me take a little bit of time to describe what's going on here. So Uncle Sam seems to be the instructor of this classroom, and this entire schoolhouse is populated by white children as well as brown and black children. And the way they're portraying these brown children from Hawaii, the Philippines, Puerto Rico, and Cuba, they're giving, or they have special attention from Uncle Sam. It seems like the white kids in the background have a little bit more autonomy and a little bit more freedom because they aren't having that same kind of attention that these brown children have. And in a way, it looks like Uncle Sam is giving them some kind of lecture as if they didn't know any better. And again, just like the previous two political cartoons, they were portrayed in a very racist manner. And thinking about how this racist portrayal has been a theme throughout every single one of these political cartoons, it's a running thing that's going on in terms of, hey, these people look much different than us. They don't look like they're educated. They don't look like they know how to live proper lives. And that's the kind of energy, that's the kind of message that every single one of these political cartoons are giving off. And as you're probably thinking, it's messed up. These racist portrayals are wrong. These kinds of things would not fly in modern day like this. But this was what the U.S. thought of the Philippines. This is what they thought of Puerto Rico. This is what they thought of Cuba. They needed some kind of rehabilitation because they did not meet this mold that they had. And this is the end of the analysis part of the political cartoons. Now I want to go into a little bit of discussion. But before that, take one last glimpse of these political cartoons and let me know what you think. I have my own opinions when it comes to these cartoons and everything, but I do want to see where other people are coming from. There may be some parts of it where I didn't fully capture one side of the picture, and I just want to see what mysteries or what kind of things people find out by looking at these. With that said, I'm looking forward to what you come up with when you look at these photos. Taking into account these political cartoons and the reasoning and justification behind McKinley's words, everything is starting to make a little bit of sense. When it comes to propaganda, this is just another way of persuading to a certain idea. And in this case, it was U.S. imperialism of the Philippines. Whenever people are trying to portray a certain idea, they go out of their way to exaggerate it just as they did within these cartoons. They showed the Filipinos as people that were savage, people that were uncivilized, and needed some kind of rehabilitation, like I was saying before. And this was also a time when Manifest Destiny and Expansion was on an all-time high. So everything was just mixing together, and to the Americans, it just made sense. To them, they had some kind of God-given obligation to better these people. These people were broken. They needed to be fixed. They needed to, and they probably wouldn't say this out loud, but they needed to be Americanized. They needed to reach the standard of what it meant to be clean, what it meant to be civilized, what it meant to be educated. This was what was going on in the minds of people in the U.S. during that time. They may have not all exclusively used these words, and some people may have even sugarcoated the meaning behind them, but this was essentially what it was. They were trying to take over. They were trying to rehabilitate. They were trying to change these people. And I use rehabilitation and change in a very messed up way because that's how they saw it. This is how the Americans, they saw it. They saw it as a positive change for the Philippines, and it was something that was going to be much better for them because obviously they didn't know any better. This is what was going on in their sick and twisted minds, and this is what happens when you use things like propaganda. This is the power of persuasion, and something like this can either go very positively or very negatively. And in this sense, this is what they consider to be positive. But one thing I want to bring up is, what can propaganda and persuasion actually do? We've brought up some of the bits of the background. We've taken a look at some of these political cartoons from the Philippine-American War, and we've taken a little bit of time to discuss what these bits of propaganda actually mean. And now that we've reached the end, I want to pose one final question for y'all to think about and to discuss. And that question is, what power does propaganda truly hold? When you think about it, the power of persuasion is a very big thing. even if we think about it in terms of something as small as peer pressure within our friend and family groups, being persuaded can sometimes lead people to do what others may refer to as quote-unquote bad things. But my question is, how can something like persuasion be used for good? We're in an era where social media has taken over, media in general has taken over, and there's so much power to use with it. When you think about it, we have the power to influence one another in some way, shape, or form. And that is a power that shouldn't be taken for granted, in my opinion. If you're able to reach a very, very wide audience, you need to understand that the words you put out and the pictures that you put out, the videos that you put out, essentially all the content that you're putting out into the world can influence others to think or act a certain way. And that's what the power of persuasion and influence really is. If people are able to persuade others into wrongdoings, imagine what it could be like to use that power of persuasion for good. And I say this as a way to give you some food for thought. I've seen persuasion and peer pressure used in very negative ways. I've seen, obviously, with things like this, propaganda used in ways to take advantage of other people, and it's not good. That kind of stuff is not good. But one thing I just want to leave off with this episode is kind of this light of hope. If people are able to use the power of persuasion for bad things, I believe that we can flip it on its head and actually use it for good. If you think about it, there are a lot of people that use their platforms of influence for good things. I've seen many people on Twitch, for example, that could be used as something that was originally meant to be a streaming platform for games, but I've seen many people use it as a way to promote charities, nonprofits. People use it as fundraisers, and it's another way of thinking that, hey, a lot of these things that we use on a daily basis have influence and power towards other people. So my question is, why not use that power for good? Why can't we use that power to uplift people, promote good things, and help people out in some way, shape, or form? And that's really what I want to leave you off with. With that being said, I just want to thank y'all for taking a little bit of time out of your day for this lesson for the month. It's been a good one to put together, and using the Philippine-American War was a very good opportunity for me to bring up this topic of persuasion and propaganda. It's something that's interested me for quite some time, and using these as an outlet and a vehicle to promote better use of the power of persuasion is something that's really big. So I hope that y'all were able to get something out of this lesson for today, and I hope that you're able to also get in your circles to discuss this episode, the propaganda, and the power of persuasion as a whole. And again, that final question to ask, what does the power of propaganda and the power of influence truly hold? I want y'all to sit with your family members, your friends, your peer groups, and really think about that. Think about some examples. I'd love to hear them on social media. Again, make sure to check us out on PillPX American Stories on Instagram and PillAm Stories on Twitter. I'd love to start the conversation with you, and hopefully we'll be able to create something together. And with that being said, thank you all again for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.